好声调试好收音机的频率和音量。这里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792，现在是全国大学英语4-6级考试上海考区英语4级听力部分试音时间，请考生调试好收音机的频率和音量。这里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792，现在是全国大学英语4-6级考试上海考区英语4级听力部分试音时间，请考生调试好收音机的频率和音量。这里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792，现在是全国大学英语4-6级考试上海考区英语4级听力部分试音时间，请考生调试好收音机的频率和音量。这里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792，现在是全国大学英语4-6级考试上海考区英语4级听力部分试音时间，请考生调试好收音机的频率和音量。这里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792，现在是全国大学英语4-6级考试上海考区英语4级听力部分试音时间，请考生调试好收音机的频率和音量。这里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792，全国大学英语4-6级考试上海考区英语4级听力部分考试现在开始。这里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792，全国大学英语4-6级考试上海考区英语4级听力部分考试现在开始，
听力考试马上开始，请戴上耳机。录音开头有一段试听声音，约1分半钟。听力考试将在试音结束后正式开始，现在开始试音。
In this section, You will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices, marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Example, you will hear, is it possible for you to work late, Miss Gray?
Work late? I suppose so, if you really think it's necessary.
Where do you think this conversation most probably took place? You'll read A, at the office, B, in the waiting room, C, at the airport, D, in a restaurant. From the conversation, we know that the two were talking about some work they had to finish in the evening. This conversation is most likely to have taken place at the office. Therefore, A, at the office, is the best answer. You should choose A on the answer sheet and mark it with a single line through the center.
试音结束，听力考试现在开始。
College English Test, Band 4, Part 3, Listening Comprehension.
Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. This crazy bus schedule has got me completely confused. I can't figure out when my bus to Cleveland leaves.
Why don't you just go to the ticket window and ask?
What does the man suggest the woman do? Question 12. I really enjoyed the TV special about giraffes last night. Did you get home in time to see it?
Oh, yes. But I wish I could have stayed awake long enough to see the whole thing.
What does the man mean? Question 13. Airport, please. I'm running a little late, so just take the fastest way, even if it's not the most direct.
Sure, but there's a lot of traffic everywhere today because of the football game.
What do we learn about the woman from the conversation? Question 14. May I make a recommendation, sir? Our seafood with this special sauce is very good.
Thank you, but I don't eat shellfish. I'm allergic to it.
Where does this conversation most probably take place? Question 15. Now one more question, if you don't mind. What position in the company appeals to you most?
Well, I'd like the position of sales manager, if that position is still vacant.
What do we learn about the man?
Question 16. I don't think I want to live in the dormitory next year. I need more privacy.
I know what you mean, but check out the cost of renting an apartment first. I wouldn't be surprised if you change your mind.
What does the woman imply? Question 17. You're on the right track. I just think you need to narrow the topic down.
Yeah, you're right. I always start by choosing too broad a topic when I'm doing a research paper.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 18. This picnic sure beats the last one we went to, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. We had to spend the whole time inside. Good thing the weather was cooperative this time.
What do we learn about the speakers from the conversation? Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
When I say I live in Sweden, people always want to know about the seasons.
The seasons?
Yeah, you know, how cold it is in winter, what it's like when the days are so short.
So, what is it like?
Well, it is cold, very cold in winter, sometimes as cold as 26 degrees below centigrade. And of course, when you go out, you wrap up warm. But inside, in the houses, it's always very warm, much warmer than at home. Swedish people always complain that when they visit England, the houses are cold, even in a good winter.
And what about the darkness?
Well, yeah, around Christmas time, there's only 1 hour of daylight, so you really look forward to the spring. It is sometimes a bit depressing, but you see the summers are amazing. From May to July in the north of Sweden, the sun never sets. It's still light at midnight. You can walk in the mountains and read a newspaper.
Oh, yeah, the land of the midnight sun.
That's right, but it's wonderful. You want to stay up all night, and the Swedes make the most of it. Often they start work earlier in summer and then leave at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, so that they can really enjoy the long summer evenings. They like to work hard, but play hard too. I think Londoners work longer hours, but I'm not sure this is a good thing.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What do we learn about the man from the conversation? Question 20. What do Swedish people complain about when they visit England in winter? Question 21. How does the man describe the short hour of daylight around Christmas in Sweden? Question 22. What does the man say about the Swedish people?
Conversation 2.
What kind of training does one need to go into this type of job?
That's a very good question. I don't think there's any, specifically.
For example, in your case, what was your educational background?
Well, I did a degree in French at Nottingham. After that, I did careers work in secondary schools, like the careers guidance people here at the university. Then I went into local government because I found I was more interested in the administrative side, then progressed on to universities. So there wasn't any plan, and there was no specific training. There are plenty of training courses in management techniques and committee work, which you can attend now.
But in the first place, you did a French degree.
In my time, there wasn't a degree you could do for administration. I think most of the administrators I've come across have degrees in all sorts of things.
Well, I know in my case I did an English literature degree, and I didn't really expect to end up doing what I'm doing now.
Quite.
Were you local to Nottingham, actually? Is there any reason why you went to Nottingham University?
No. I come from the north of England, from West Yorkshire. Nottingham was one of the universities I put on my list, and I like the look of it. The campus is just beautiful.
Yes, indeed. Let's see. Were you from the industrial part of Yorkshire?
Yes, from the Woolen District. Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23. What was the man's major at university? Question 24. What was the man's job in secondary schools? Question 25. What attracted the man to Nottingham University?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices, marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. While Gail Opp Kemp, an American artist, was giving a speech on the art of Japanese brush painting to an audience that included visitors from Japan, she was confused to see that many of her Japanese listeners had their eyes closed. Were they turned off because an American had the nerve to instruct Japanese in their own art form? Were they deliberately trying to signal their rejection of her? Opp Kemp later found out that her listeners were not being disrespectful. Japanese listeners sometimes close their eyes to enhance concentration. Her listeners were showing their respect for her by chewing on her words. Someday, you may be either a speaker or a listener in a situation involving people from other countries or members of a minority group in North America. Learning how different cultures signal respect can help you avoid misunderstandings. Here are some examples. In the deaf culture of North America, many listeners show applause not by clapping their hands, but by waving them in the air. In some cultures, both overseas and in some minority groups in North America, listeners are considered disrespectful if they look directly at the speaker. Respect is shown by looking in the general direction, but avoiding direct eye contact. In some countries, whistling by listeners is a sign of approval, while in other countries, it is a form of insult.
Question 25. Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What did Opkamp's speech focus on? Question 27. Why do Japanese listeners sometimes close their eyes while listening to a speech? Question 28. What does the speaker try to explain? Passage 2. Chris is in charge of purchasing and maintaining equipment in his division at Texalon Company. He's soon going to have an evaluation interview with his supervisor and the personnel director to discuss the work he has done in the past year. Salary, promotion, and plans for the coming year will also be discussed at the meeting. Chris has made several changes for his division in the past year. First, he bought new equipment for one of the departments. He has been particularly happy about the new equipment because many of the employees have told him how much it has helped them. Along with improving the equipment, Chris began a program to train employees to use equipment better and do simple maintenance themselves. The training saved time for the employees and money for the company. Unfortunately, one serious problem developed during the year. Two employees that Chris hired were stealing, and he had to fire them. Chris knows that a new job for a purchasing and maintenance manager for the whole company will be open in a few months, and he would like to be promoted to the job. Chris knows, however, that someone else wants the new job too. Kim is in charge of purchasing and maintenance in another division of the company. She has also made several changes over the year. Chris knows that his boss likes Kim's work, and he expects that his work will be compared with hers.
Questions 29 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. What is Chris's main responsibility at Texalon Company? Question 30. What problem did Chris encounter in his division? Question 31. What does Chris hope for in the near future? Question 32. What do we learn about Kim from the passage? Passage 3. Proverbs, sometimes called sayings, are examples of folk wisdom. They are little lessons which older people of a culture pass down to the younger people to teach them about life. Many proverbs remind people of the values that are important in the culture. Values teach people how to act, what is right, and what is wrong. Because the values of each culture are different, understanding the values of another culture helps explain how people think and act. Understanding your own cultural values is important, too. If you can accept that people from other cultures act according to their values, not yours, getting along with them will be much easier. Many proverbs are very old, so some of the values they teach may not be as important in the culture as they once were. For example, Americans today do not pay much attention to the proverb, haste makes waste, because patience is not important to them. But if you know about past values, it helps you to understand the present. And many of the older values are still strong today. Benjamin Franklin, a famous American diplomat, writer, and scientist, died in 1790. But his proverb, time is money, is taken more seriously by Americans of today than ever before. A study of proverbs from around the world shows that some values are shared by many cultures. In many cases, though, the same idea is expressed differently.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. Why are proverbs so important? Question 34. According to the speaker, what happens to some proverbs with the passage of time? Question 35. What do we learn from the study of proverbs from around the world? Section C, Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Our lives are woven together. As much as I enjoy my own company, I no longer imagine I can get through a single day, much less all my life, completely on my own. Even if I am on vacation in the mountains, I am eating food someone else has grown, living in a house someone else has built, wearing clothes someone else has sewn from cloth woven by others, using electricity someone else is distributing to my house. Evidence of interdependence is everywhere. We are on this journey together. As I was growing up, I remember being carefully taught that independence, not interdependence, was everything. Make your own way. Stand on your own two feet. Or my mother's favorite remark when I was face to face with consequences of some action, now that you've made your bed, lie on it. Total independence is a dominant theme in our culture. I imagine that what my parents were trying to teach me was to take responsibility for my actions and my choices. But the teaching was shaped by our cultural images, and instead, I grew up believing that I was supposed to be totally independent and consequently became very reluctant to ask for help. I would do almost anything not to be a burden and not require any help from anybody.
Now the passage will be read again. Our lives are woven together. As much as I enjoy my own company, I no longer imagine I can get through a single day, much less all my life, completely on my own. Even if I am on vacation in the mountains, I am eating food someone else has grown, living in a house someone else has built, wearing clothes someone else has sewn, from cloth woven by others, using electricity someone else is distributing to my house. Evidence of interdependence is everywhere. We are on this journey together. As I was growing up, I remember being carefully taught that independence, not interdependence, was everything. Make your own way. Stand on your own 2 feet. Or my mother's favorite remark when I was face to face with consequences of some action. Now that you've made your bed, lie on it. Total independence is a dominant theme in our culture. I imagine that what my parents were trying to teach me was to take responsibility for my actions and my choices. But the teaching was shaped by our cultural images, and instead I grew up believing that I was supposed to be totally independent, and consequently became very reluctant to ask for help. I would do almost anything not to be a burden, and not require any help from anybody.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Our lives are woven together. As much as I enjoy my own company, I no longer imagine I can get through a single day, much less all my life, completely on my own. Even if I am on vacation in the mountains, I am eating food someone else has grown, living in a house someone else has built, wearing clothes someone else has sewn from cloth woven by others, using electricity someone else is distributing to my house. Evidence of interdependence is everywhere. We are on this journey together. As I was growing up, I remember being carefully taught that independence, not interdependence, was everything. Make your own way. Stand on your own two feet. Or my mother's favorite remark when I was face to face with consequences of some action, now that you've made your bed, lie on it. Total independence is a dominant theme in our culture. I imagine that what my parents were trying to teach me was to take responsibility for my actions and my choices. But the teaching was shaped by our cultural images, and instead, I grew up believing that I was supposed to be totally independent and consequently became very reluctant to ask for help. I would do almost anything not to be a burden and not require any help from anybody.
This is the end of listening comprehension.